Hello and welcome to Christ, Faith, Truth, Hope, where God will be glorified. I believe and proclaim that the King James Version of the Bible that I will be speaking from is the infallible Word of God. It is the truth of His Word and it is His voice. This is a truth that the enemy will attack daily. Therefore, this is the truth that must be reiterated daily. Also, let it be known that salvation is God's free gift by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do anything for it, therefore, it cannot be lost. All of these things are supported by Scripture, and I'm using the King James Version of the Bible. So if anyone listening doesn't believe that the King James Version of the Bible is the only true Bible and Word of God, then there's no point in listening to this podcast. I just really need to express that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. It's not through Mary, the Mother of God, or any of the apostles, or anyone else. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. This is Scripture from the King James Version of the Bible. It is written. So I'll be expressing these things when I open and start my episodes, because these are the very foundations of faith that the enemy attacks on a daily basis. So therefore it bears repeating. Today's topic is going to be how that God's love commands repentance. Now let's start with who God is. God is righteous. God is holy. God is true. God is love. Revelation 4:8 says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." God is worshiped and adored by all the host of heaven, day and night, and forever will be. Amen. So, God has the holy host of heaven to offer him constant praise. Therefore, he does not need our tainted accolades. If you were thirsty and I offered you a glass of water, with one glass being dirty and one glass being clean, which glass would you drink from? I'm pretty sure you pick the clean glass. So it is the same with God. He does not want, neither does he accept, sin-tainted praise and worship from the unrepentant who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay? You gotta be born again. So, just, you know, with God being who he is and what he's done for us, brings me to how much God must love us to have done what he did. You know? So, you know, how the Lord must love us if he left his throne in heaven, put on flesh, came to earth, and suffered and bled and died and is risen again. Amen. But consider God, the Lord, left a place where he is worshiped and exalted to come to a place where he is hated, despised, loathed, and abhorred. I mean, what kind of love is that? It's the kind of love that says, in Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. God's love is the kind of love that knows the depravity of the human condition and offers a remedy for it through Jesus Christ. God sees into everyone's heart. God knows the weight of hatred, bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, gossip, poverty, assaults on the heart and assaults on the mind, and lust and the addictions and the idolatry that keep us in bondage to sin and death. The love of God wants to heal us from the misery and despair of growing up in a broken home. The love of God wants to heal us from the emotional and physical abuse we've endured. The love of God wants to heal us of the addictions and idolatry that we're trying to medicate our pain with. And these very vices that are keeping us bound in poverty and homelessness. The love of God wants to enter in and be our comforter, our friend, teacher, our defender and provider. Most importantly, the love of God wants to save us from the threat of hell, where we will spend an eternity in darkness and despair, alone and tormented, not only by the adversities and injustices that we suffered while we were alive, but also by the regret we would feel for having rejected God, separated from the Lord, alone and tormented in an eternal flame. Therefore, we must do as the Lord has commanded and repent. He says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And again, the Lord says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is not hyperbole. It is not a suggestion. These are commandments. Make no mistake. Okay? So, we must repent. We must repent and receive the love of God that will deliver us from the misery of life without him. We must repent of our sin and be willing to turn from them or forever regret not doing so, being separated from the love of God, lonely and afraid, tormented in the eternal flames of hell. Now, I don't know about you, but when I lived a life of sin, I was miserable and I wanted to be free. I can remember doing everything that the world told me that I needed to do to be happy. Go to school, get a job, be popular, drink alcohol, smoke marijuana, do drugs, live in fornication. And it was all a lie, and it didn't help me. It actually brought more harm and corruption and emotional distress, and I didn't have any peace in my spirit doing any of those things that the world had told me to do. Because the Lord has said in Proverbs chapter 8, that he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. So all I did was wrong my own soul, living a life of sin, which was normal to the world. Okay? God says that if you were of the world would love his own. So while I was in the world, doing all those worldly things that the world told me to do, it was okay with the worldly people. But I'm telling you, inside, I just wanted to die. I prayed to die. I often got into situations where I could have been killed trying to die. Like, I was just not happy living a life of sin. And nobody can be happy if they're honest. No one is happy living a life of sin. You know, and I wanted to be free. I did all that stuff that the world told me to do, and all I was left with was spiritual bankruptcy, loneliness, and despair, and depression. And doctors told me that I was bipolar, and take this pill and take that pill, and that stuff does not work. Why do you think you see these, okay, celebrities? They are the perfect example. Why do you think all these celebrities who have all this money end up killing themselves with drugs and alcohol, or they commit suicide some other kind of way? That's because you cannot live without Christ. We cannot live without Christ. We can live without Christ, but we won't have peace. It's because they don't have peace. And they have all that money. They have all those people around them. Rich people have money. They have family. They have job. They have career. They have success. The rich have all these things, but yet they do not have peace. And that's because they do not have Christ. So when a person does not have Christ, they will not, they cannot have peace, because God does not allow them to have peace within their spirit. And so this is why God commands us to repent and come to know Him. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, like I said, I did all the things that the world told me to do. The world, you know, I lived a life of sin, and I was miserable, and I was frustrated because I couldn't share my feelings with anyone without being labeled crazy or bipolar or depressed. The world didn't have any answers for me, no matter how much stuff or money I had, or no matter how much alcohol I drank or drug I used. It didn't satisfy my spirit. Popularity and sexual immorality left me feeling empty and defiled, and I firmly believe that God has designed it to be that way. So that it is only through accepting Him that we find acceptance, affirmation, affection, approval, confidence, friendship, love, joy, contentment, security, and peace. So God's love commands that we repent, and there is no excuse for us to try to live without Him, and God forbid that we should die without having received His loving kindness and tender mercy and salvation. So I'm going to close with some scripture supporting everything that I've said, you know, because like I said, this is the truth of the Word of God, you know, and I must share it. You know, living in this world today as a Christian, I am so weary of reprobate, unbelieving evildoers naming the name of Christ and blaspheming the Lord, associating their sinful lifestyle with the Lord having blessed them to prosper in unrighteousness and wickedness, when it is just not true. These things that I'm saying need to be said. They need to be heard. Because God is holy, God is righteous, God is true. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God condemns sexual immorality. God condemns fornication. God condemns drunkenness. God condemns idolatry. The Lord has not blessed anyone to get away with their evil. And having stuff, money, cars, houses, is not even what the word blessed means. You know, people walking around talking about, oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. No. The word blessed means to make holy. Okay, so I don't understand how a job makes somebody holy. But anyway, I digress. So let me first go to 1 John and chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 9 through 10. So let me just find it right here. All right. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. Because it's a love thing. You know, if you love somebody, you'll make an adjustment for that person. So just listen to this. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Okay. Now, Romans and chapter 5. Let's go over there to Romans and chapter 5 and verse 8 and see what that has to say about the love of God. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he must love us if he would die for us. I mean, just look around you. Look at your neighbors. Look at the news. Look at the world. Look at all the hatred and murder and wickedness going on. And God loves those people and gave his life so that if they should trust in him, they can be saved. No one is too bad. The Lord says, whosoever, that means whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, how God must love us. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us consolation, there it is, and good hope through grace. He's the consolation that we need. And finally, we all know this one. For God so loved the world, that means you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved you. For God so loved the world. For God so loved me. Which is amazing to me, because I am someone who comes from a broken family, dysfunctional home, where I was not loved. I didn't know what love was. I've had my heart broken by those close to me, and no one loved me, and I didn't love myself. So when I heard that the Lord Jesus Christ loved me, I received it. And I was glad about it. Oh, I was so excited. Words cannot express what I felt when I heard the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he loved me. And, you know, he was the love that I had been looking for between people's legs, at the bottom of a drink, at the end of a joint, in material things. Jesus Christ. Love, God's love, was the love that I had been looking for, and it was the love that satisfied me. God's love is the love that healed me. God's love is the love that changed me. And God loves you too. You know, the way someone once told me, the way that people treat me is not a representation of how God feels about me. God has shown me his love for me and his direction, and his commandment for me to repent of my sinful ways that are destroying me. Why would I want to hold on to something that's killing me and that's going to keep me separated from the only one who's ever loved me enough to lay down his life for me? So, again, I say, just the very act of God loving us and paying the price for our sin and being the mediator for us, and, you know, so that we can have a relationship with him, commands repentance. We have to repent. Once again, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent and turn away from sin. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sins, and surrender to him and receive him as Lord and Savior. Accept him as your God, and he shall be saved. And with that, I will end.